Hello, everyone. This is Dan Sheridan with Cross and Throne Ministries. Our web address is crossandthrone.com. Again, it's crossandthrone.com. Our phone number, 847-312-4676. Please go to our website, and you can listen to these programs for free and download them for free. Put them on your iPod, burn a CD, do whatever you please. We only ask that when you go through these that you search the scriptures. We make no claim to final authority here. Our only final authority are the written words of God. And so we, where we agree with them, stand with us. And where we are off, just put that away and just take the good stuff. I hope that's a sufficient enough encouragement. Well, we are today in Paul's letter to the Ephesians. And we picked up last time, we talked about verse 3. And we're just going to read verses 3 to 6 and then go back and make some more comments in verses 3 to 6. Paul says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved." And I hope you've done your homework and you're working on memorizing those verses, verse 3 to 6. And for those of you who are a little more daring, memorize verses 3 to 14. And this is the Magna Carta of the church, which is Christ, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Well, we talked a little bit last time about verse 3 and the unique blessings that belong to us as members of the body of Christ. And I want you to notice now we come in verse 4 where Paul says, "According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world." Now, I want you to know this, that word "according." In verse 3, Paul said he's blessed us. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ hath blessed us, plural, us, with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as. Now that word "according" means in harmony with. You know, when people talk about living in one accord and so forth, that phrase "according" has a thought of harmony. In other words, in verse 4, the blessings that we have are in accordance with something. They're in harmony with something. What are they in harmony with? We're blessed according as, in harmony with the fact that he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now, we're not going to quickly run over these verses. I think they're important. There's phrases in here we need to get straight. So the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ hath already blessed us. We are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Well, these blessings are in harmony with the fact that he chose us. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world. We didn't choose him, he chose us. This choice has a reference to the fact that God chose. And I think this is a plurality. He's chosen us as a people, the members of his body, that we should. He's chosen us in him, in Christ, before the foundation of the world. Now, a couple things I want to point out. First, he chose us. Secondly, it's in him. And thirdly, it's before the foundation of the world. Now, this phrase is interesting because if we believe in the scriptures, and I trust everyone does, I want to show you a few things. First of all, this phrase "before the foundation" is unique. We have unique blessings in that they're spiritual. We have a unique place where they'll be enjoyed. That's in heavenly places. And in verse 4, we have a unique choice, a unique time frame of our choice. And that is before the foundation of the world. Now, I want to show you why that's unique. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 34 and 35, I want to read you a passage there, if you will turn there. In Matthew 13, it says this in verse 34. This is regarding the parables that he spoke in Matthew 13 concerning the kingdom there. It says, "And all these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables. And without a parable spake he not unto them." By the way, just as a side note, the Lord Jesus never told parables to make truth more clear. He told parables to make truth more obscure. Now, I'm not going to explain that, but I want you to ponder that. Verse 35, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Now, I want you to notice that phrase says, from the foundation of the world. And in Ephesians, it talks about a choice before the foundation of the world. In Matthew 25, verse 34, we have another reference. In Matthew 25, verse 34, this is referring to the second advent of Jesus Christ when he sits on his throne in Jerusalem, which he will do. Which he will do, and the UN and postmillennialists have nothing to say about it. Verse 34, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Now notice there's a kingdom prepared from the foundation of the world. And now in Luke chapter 11, verses 49 to 51, I want to read you that. Luke chapter 11, verses 49 to 51. Go back and read these on your own. And we read this. In verse 49, therefore also said the wisdom of God, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they shall slay and persecute, that the blood of all the prophets which was shed from the foundation of the world may be required from this generation, from the blood of Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, which perished between the altar and the temple. Now, when is from the foundation of the world? We know it at least goes back to before Abel's time. And so Abel was the son of Adam. And now another reference will be found in Hebrews chapter 4. In Hebrews chapter 4, the book of Hebrews chapter 4, and I'm turning there. I'm not reading from notes here. I am actually turning and reading the passages for you. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 3, we read this. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. That goes back to Genesis there. And then in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 26, we read this. For then must he have often suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And then finally we come to the book of Revelation. In Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, we read this. And they all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And then in verse 17, chapter 17 and verse 8, we read this. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. Now, those are all the references I've come up with. I don't know if I've exhausted them. But I want you to notice this, because in all these passages, in Matthew, Luke, and Hebrews and Revelation, which are books written mostly concerning the kingdom promised to Israel, we read the phrase from the foundation of the world. But you and I, as members of the body of Christ, as we read here in Ephesians, we have unique blessings, that they're all spiritual. We have a unique place where those blessings will be enjoyed in heavenly places. And then a unique time frame of the choice that the members of the bodies are chosen in, as before the foundation of the world. Now notice what this says. Think about this. Think about these three items here. Our unique blessings, the unique sphere where they'll be enjoyed, and the unique time frame. So verse 4 continues, according to the chosenness in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now notice what he's chosen us to. He's chosen us that we should be holy. Now that word holy is interesting. Most people, when they think of holy, they think of church steeples and holy water and all that other stuff. But the word holiness, I like to put in the context of a family. And just to illustrate that really quick, I want to turn to 1 Thessalonians. And I want to read you a passage. And Paul is writing this, and he says this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 11. Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you, and the Lord make you increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do towards you, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. I want you to notice that. The Lord make us increase to abound in love. Why? To the end that he may establish our hearts unblameable in holiness. So notice love and holiness go together. It has a family atmosphere. And so this word holy, whatever it means, it's wonderful, it's beautiful. Don't think of church bells and steeples and organs when you think of the word holy. Think of a family atmosphere. He's chosen us to be holy and then without blame. Now this is our position in Christ, without blame. In Ephesians 5, we read this, and I want to show you what the King James has done here to help us get a better grip on these words. Ephesians 5, it says this, regarding the Lord Jesus Christ, it says, verse 27, referring to Christ, that he might present it, referring to the church, to himself a glorious church, not having spot, nor wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Now notice there it's without blemish. It's the same word in the Greek language. And here Paul in Ephesians, they translate it without blame in chapter 1 of Ephesians and without blemish in chapter 5. It's the Father purpose that we be holy and without blame, and the Son accomplishes it by saying that we'll be holy and without blemish. Well, what is without blame? It has to do with blemishes. And what does blemishes have to do? It has to do with blame. In other words, in the Old Testament, when an offering was brought before the priest, it had to be without blemish. There could be no spots. And so what did those spots represent? It represented sin. It represented something that we can be blamed for. And you and I have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But in Christ, he, the Father, has chosen us to be holy and without blame. Now notice where it says, before him. In his eyes, you and I have no blemishes. Just like that offering, the burnt offering in the Old Testament could be without blemish, you and I are without blame. There's nothing the devil or anyone else in the world can point to and say, see there? Well, though in ourselves we're sinners by nature and practice, but in Christ, we're holy and without blame. Never think of yourself apart from Christ. That is our position. Now, our condition's a little different. For an illustration, the Old Testament in the book of Numbers, we read that in Numbers 22 to 24, God said he's beheld no iniquity in Israel. They're sinless, he told Balaam. And yet God had been killing them all over the place because of their sin. See, their practice and their position were different. So you and I in Christ are holy and without blame, and that's irreversible. We're going to have to stop there. I wish we didn't have to. We're going to continue. Next time in verse 4, there are many things we didn't cover. This is Dan Sheridan, and this is Cross and Throne Ministries. Again, we thank you for listening with us. We pray that you go back and study these scriptures. Read the whole Bible cover to cover, friends. Start today. Start now. Become a Bible reader. You can get our program on our website at crossandthrone.com. We have a couple study tools available for you on there, some companion Bibles, things of that nature. Can't give those away for free, but all of our audios are free. If you like this program, want to see it continue on your radio station, please consider helping us out. Donations go to paying the radio station, and so please consider helping us keeping this thing afloat. Our phone number, 847-312-4676, our web address, crossandthrone.com. Until next time, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, that God may be all in all.